You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to The Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you a very special episode number 66. So for this week's episode, it's a very Star Wars-themed episode for the obvious reason of Order 66 being a pivotal role in the Star Wars universe and transitioning between the prequels and the original trilogy, or between the Galactic Republic, or the transition from the Galactic Republic to the Galactic Empire. So more on that part later. So as a quick overview, the film review for this week is going to be Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. The Star Wars profile will be Order 66. The theme I'll get to in a minute, and I'll explain why it's not the obvious choice. And then the app review is going to be a live wallpaper for that simulates a trench run, so look out for that. So with that, I'll jump right into the theme, or the episode and the theme. So the theme, I was originally going to do Monopoly in the vein of the Empire being a monopoly and being centrally controlled by the government, but since I've already done that on a prior episode, and at the time didn't really think about it, I decided for this episode I would do the opposite of a monopoly, and that is capitalism, or the general approximate opposite, notably in this case because while no true capitalist economy exists, it sort of more or less matches the Galactic Republic's means of doing business. So a general definition of capitalism is that it is a system or market where goods are owned by private individuals or businesses. The production of these goods and services are based on a supply and demand from the market. So, there's that trade-off. So if you remember last week's episode of, supply versus demand and quantity supplied versus quantity demanded, capitalist market generally aims to follow that, push and pull of supplies and the demand for those supplies and prices and all that, so no single entity has control over any of it. The purest form of capitalism is called the laissez-faire capitalist market, where the market is entirely self-controlled with no government regulation or intervention. So even if the government tried to do anything in the market, they would be immediately pushed out. Which is an actual pure sense of capitalism and the opposite of a monopoly, where the government controls everything to from demand to prices to what's produced, who produces it, and the whole nine yards. Most capitalist markets, though, work under a mixed market system where there's a balance that's attempted to be maintained between the market self-controlling themselves and having government regulation. So ideally, you want a market that controls itself, but also have just the right amount of government regulation where the market doesn't get too out of control, but the government also doesn't interfere or create so much regulation that it impairs or dictates the flow of the market. So there's always going to be a push and pull there, as well as far as how much regulation is enough, how much is too much, or how much is too little, but also allow the market to operate as free as possible, but also have the consumer's best interests at heart. So with that being said, I'll jump right into the tech news. Only a few things to talk about this week. So to start it off, Google Flights got an update where it now has the ability to notify you when prices are expected to change, as well as have multiple alternate routes based on location searches. So the first point is the one of most that is most notable, because if you are buying tickets but there are other prices that might or other times I might offer lower prices or better pricing or a better flight time or something, and it works in your schedule, then you can get notified of that and you can save some money. And then also the multiple route location or multiple routes is a good update as well, because let's say you're going from place A to place B and you're not really too fixed, or you want to easily be able to find multiple routes and see which one is the best price for you and help you pick that best route at the best price, then that is now a lot easier. So I believe the site or the link itself is flights.google.com, but doing a search for Google Flights will take you there as well. Nintendo announced their next gaming console by a quick video and announcement. While it's not going to be called a Nintendo NX, it is actually going to be called a Nintendo Switch. It's a two-fold system where you have a tablet-sized device called the Nintendo Switch with two removable joystick controllers, which plug in directly to that tablet to allow you to play the games on the go. But let's say you want to play in your living room on the big screen, you simply plug it into the dock called the Nintendo Switch dock and remove those controllers, and you now have controllers to play the games on your big screen TV or on a whatever other bigger screen device, bigger screen that you may have, so you can easily play it there as well. And that transition is held or run seamlessly. From what I've understood and understand, it's not 4K compatible, but it does run in HD at 720p resolution, but I'm not 100% sure on that, and I'm not sure if that's officially announced. And then there's a number of developers on board already to develop the game, so look out for that coming, I believe it's sometime next year. If you're looking to get a Moto G4 or G4 Plus, its Nougat update has started rolling out in India and Brazil, so look out for that coming soon. So if you're deciding to get that device, or you're wondering if it will get Nougat, it looks like the rollout has already started to begin, so that can be expected sometime too soon. And finally, the Dish Hopper 3 DVR got an update with which adds a dedicated YouTube app. So if you have that particular model of Dish Hopper, then it should be easier to view YouTube videos on your TV. So that's all there is for the news. So for this week's app review, as I mentioned at the top of the show episode, it is a live wallpaper called the Trench Run. So this is an Android-only feature, so it does require... I didn't actually check the Android requirements now that I think about it, but what it does is... I will say that if you have a newer device, it should work okay. Older devices, it depends. I will assume that it's Android 4 and above, but older version or Android 2 also had the live wallpaper support, so it depends on what's available there. But essentially what the wallpaper does is pretty straightforward, as the name sounds. It adds the trench run view to as your wallpaper, so it looks as if you are going down the trench on the Death Star. You do have a few different customizable options. Notably, the first one is that you can have the movement of the wallpaper set to autopilot or to device tilt. So you can have it just as a fixed view, so there's no movement. You can have it auto tilt with a pan, so it automatically just sways side to side slowly. Or you can have it set to your device tilt, so it uses your device's gyroscope and accelerometer. So as you tilt your phone side to side and up and down, it will move your shift the perspective accordingly. You can also adjust the speed of the wallpaper, so you can have it from slowest, slow, normal, fast, and fastest, so depending on what kind of speed you want to simulate. You can also have laser bolts that fire when you touch your wallpaper or open an app. It doesn't really shoot where you're touching, but it's a pretty cool effect that when you touch your screen, it fires the laser bolts, and then you can set a sound if you want a sound when you launch your apps or whatever. And that's all part of the free version. If you pay for the full version, you can also add a cockpit view. They do have three different cockpits, notably an X-Wing, Millennium Falcon, or a TIE Fighter, and then other customization options like, I think, laser bolt color and things like that. So it is worth it if you enjoy the wallpaper. So it is, there are many free settings available, and it is available for free in the Google Play Store. Just do a search for Trench Run and you'll see it as a live wallpaper. It's definitely worth checking out if you like that view. And then I'll have a link in the show notes to the video preview, so if you want to see what it looks like in action and see how some of the things I talked about look, then you can definitely check that out, or visit youtube.com/patelN01 and you'll find it there. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's entertainment segment. So to start it off, Star Wars Rogue One character posters were released this week. So they're pretty nifty, various characters from the trailer that in the film that we've seen so far, with an overlay blue tinted, like a circuit board kind of look. So it looks pretty nifty. So they're worth. So they can be set, for example, as your device wallpaper, and they look pretty nifty. We also got a trailer for the Wolverine 3 movie. It's subtitled Logan, so we get the old man Logan storyline with an old Patrick Stewart as Professor Xavier. So that's kind of the time frame we got going on there. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to watch both MacGyver versions, Season 1, Episode 4. So in the original series run, it was The Gauntlet. In the reboot, is called Wirecutter. So with the new version, this particular episode, I actually liked a little bit more. It seemed more on par with what we expect of MacGyver. But I kind of have pointed down what I like more about the original version. And it's more of MacGyver being on his own and he meets up, works with the people of wherever he's at to figure, get them out of the situation or solve whatever problems he needs to do to accomplish his mission. While in the current version, or the new version, we have him working with the same team. So it's actually not as bad, or not like as dull as I thought. So I kind of see where they could go with it. And at the moment, it is actually much better than I thought. So I kind of want to see now where they go with it. I kind of think they're slowly gaining their footing, so I'll see where they go. I also had a chance to watch Star Wars Rebels Season 3, Episode 5, Hera's Heroes. So in this episode, we have Hera returning back to her homeworld to rescue her father and recover a family heirloom. So we do get to see more of Cham Sandula, her father, who we saw previously in Star Wars or Clone Wars during that period. So it's pretty good to see that all come together, and also the first face-to-face interaction between Hera and Grand Admiral Thrawn. I also watched Westworld Season 1, Episode 3, The Stray. So we have more of the androids going, not necessarily haywire, but going outside their programming. We see more of their functionality and looping functions as far as the guys around the campfire. So it's pretty interesting there and how they're handling it and more of the operations side of Westworld. I also had a chance to watch Gotham Season 3, Episode 5, Anything For You. So we see the back and forth relationship between Penguin, the Riddler, who's not the Riddler yet, and Butch. So it's a pretty interesting thing there, as well as the owners of the nightclub, the Sirens. So getting pretty interesting there. And then Bruce still being awkward at expressing how he feels with what's her name, Cat, the little girl Catwoman lady. And then finally, I had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 4, Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. So we have the reunion between Sky and Coulson, as well as with Simmons. So kind of that relationship there, and also how they're being tentatively reunited with Sky and Ghost Rider, now tentatively working with S.H.I.E.L.D. So a pretty good episode there. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the film review. So for this week, it is Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. So I didn't really go into it watching it as a new watcher, or whether I liked or disliked the prequels. I do have the bias of liking them. I do think right off the bat that it is a better of the three prequels. Mostly likely because it is the third in the trilogy and is that bridge between the prequels and the original trilogy. But there are, just watching it now, there are things that I did and didn't like, but I will be talking about some of the points that I thought could have been fixed or kind of didn't really make sense unless you read the novels. So a little bit about the movie as a review is that it released in the United States on May 19th, 2005, so it's been just about 11 years or 11 and a half years. It has a runtime of 140 minutes. A summary of the movie is that during the near end of the Clone Wars, Darth Sidious has revealed himself and is ready to execute the last part of his plan to rule the galaxy. Sidious is ready for his new apprentice, Lord Vader, to step into the action and kill the remaining Jedi. Vader, however, struggles to choose the dark side and save his wife or remain loyal to the Jedi Order. So the summary is overall decent enough, but is still more of that final bridge moving from episode 2 to episode 3 and Anakin still generally on the light side and having more of that conflict. So he had the Lord Vader part is actually less about Vader and more about Anakin. So it's a little bit of a weird summary, or a little bit of an odd summary in retrospect. The movie holds an IMDb rating of 76% with a 75% critics rating and 65% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So generally well reviewed, not great, but not bad. I liked it, but there were things that I thought could be better. So to start it off, as far as the review goes, if the hyperdrive was still functional, why didn't Grievous escape, especially since no one knew about Uhrapow? So when we're in the opening sequence, which I thought was one of the better parts of the film, they make a special note that the hyperdrive has been knocked out of commission. So that leads me to assume that the hyperdrive was still working. So why, since Grievous had the Chancellor on his ship, why didn't he just escape? It seems like a weird move to stay there and continue the battle if they have the Chancellor and to hold him hostage and fight on the Republic's terms, especially since that gives any Jedi a chance to come in and mount a rescue or assault on them as well. So it's kind of weird to me that they stay there. To me, it would have been a better idea to get to hyperspace out of there and go to an undisclosed location, or go to a separatist stronghold and fight the battle on their own. Next up, though, if Mace Windu's force power is the shatter point and the dark side surrounds the Chancellor, why not check out what's going on there? So, at one point during one of the briefings, Mace Windu makes a point of saying the dark side surrounds the Chancellor, but that's really about the extent of that, so it seems kind of weird that if the dark side is surrounding the Chancellor and no one is around him or none of his advisors are there, because in the novel I think they make the point of saying that it could be that the dark side is close to him and it could be him or it could be one of his advisors, but if he's alone and the dark side surrounds him, and if Mace Windu can see shatter points, why not do his shatter point analysis on Palpatine and see where it leads him, or find out kind of what the focal point is there, or just deliver the news himself and see what happens. So that was one of those things that kind of bugged me, that if he has that ability, why not use it, or why not secretly follow Anakin when delivering the report on Grievous to see what happens and follow that shatter point. Next up, though, if that stormtrooper had arrested Bail Organa, the rebellion could have been set back a bunch of years. So we have Bail Organa trying to find out what happened with the Jedi Rebellion and get into the Jedi Temple, and the stormtrooper waves him off and lets him escape. So it was kind of the whole C-3PO R2-D2 issue at the start of Star Wars Episode 4, that if that Imperial officer had just stopped that or tried to or had destroyed that escape pod, then the movie would basically be over, or essentially the rebellion wouldn't have any way to fight or blow up the Death Star. It's kind of the same principle here, that if the stormtrooper had held up Bail Organa, he could have at least been jailed or done something about it to prevent any repercussions in the near term, or I don't know, it would have probably changed the course of events a little bit depending on how they handled it. And finally, that spinning part of the Anakin-Obi-Wan duel still makes no sense without reading the novel. So if you go to that fight on Mustafar and they're in the console area and they're doing that weird spinning move where they're doing that move, they're fighting each other, they're not actually hitting each other's blades, but they're waving them around. Watching it still seems kind of weird that they pulled that move, but if you read the novel, then you know that it basically makes the point of, or kind of waves it off in the sense that they know each other's move, they've been fighting side to side, so they know each other's styles and fights and all of that. So if that's the case, then why do that move to begin with? Or if they know they're going to do that, then either one of them can basically just attack the other or change it up and try something new. So it still kind of looks weird, and watching it now, that's going to happen, and knowing that it's coming doesn't help it any more either. So that's all there is for that, as far as things that came up for me. But it was, overall, I did enjoy the movie. It was worth it. I mean, when people, the biggest complaint I hear about the original or the prequels is that it's too shiny. It's not rough like the originals, and it's I don't know. To me, they're the point of the prequels themselves were to show that period prior to the original trilogy. So for the most part, they did a good job. My only real issue at this point is that the visuals on episode one don't really hold up. They could have handled the Gungans, I thought, a little bit better, especially Jar Jar Binks, but in general, they could have handled everything a little bit better, especially if they made everyone, I think, more like General Tarples, I think it is, or made them even more of a, maybe even more of a militaristic society rather than or a militaristic society versus the Naboo being more, let's say, political or peaceful or artistic or something like that. So other than that, it was all right. I mean, people don't really like the Anakin Skywalker portrayal, the midichlorians and all of that, but overall it kind of I don't know, to me it kind of works in the grand scheme of things. There are points that are not that great, but personally, in the grand scheme of things, they actually work out. So, with that being said, I will jump right into this week's Star Wars profile. So, in this case, I wanted to talk about Order 66, which we do hear about in Revenge of the Sith. So, it was executed 19 years prior to the Battle of Yavin, so that's kind of the time frame there. It resulted in the destruction of the Jedi Order and the near extermination of all Jedi, so the obvious notation there is that Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi still survived, and then watching Star Wars Rebels, we know that Kanan is still alive, so there are various... And then the Force Unleashed... I'm not sure if the Force Unleashed is still canon or not, but that Apprentice and Shakti and a few others are still alive and things like that. So there are still Jedi around after the execution of Order 66. It is notable in that it denotes the transition from the Galactic Republic to the Galactic Empire, and shows according to Palpatine, the final rebellion of the Jedi Order and their ultimate goal to take over the Republic, which was actually quite the opposite of what was happening. So a bit of background about Order 66 is that Clone Protocol 66 was built into all clones during each clone's creation via a biochip. So it was an implant that was subtly implanted during their cloning process that no one knew about and would only could only be remote activated by voice. It ensured near total obedience and erased prior biases and beliefs, so that's kind of how it was supposed to work in mass to have it executed across a galaxy on Emperor Palpatine's command. It caused clones to believe that any Jedi, or caused them to now believe that any Jedi was a threat and needed to be eliminated at any cost. So, basically, it was supposed to do that, and it worked 99% of the time. So I forget the novel's name offhand, but there was a novel where we see that certain regimens, it didn't work in all clones. So there were those who where it didn't erase their biases and beliefs properly, so it resulted in them not wanting to kill the Jedi and understanding that they fought side by side. So if the Jedi did that, then how could they be evil? If they were brought in like they were supposed to, then they would be either reprogrammed or reconditioned and put back into service, or killed off if they could not be programmed properly. But essentially that is of how Emperor Palpatine was able to ensure the destruction of the Jedi Order simultaneously across the Empire. It did allow Palpatine to brand them as traitors and simultaneously allow him to have a new army for the Empire. So it didn't cause him to have to justify building a new army, and also to it would also allow him to have an army to hunt down the remaining Jedi and have no opposition, because now that the public thinks that the Jedi are traitors, that he now needs an army to hunt them down, and he already had one. We do learn in Star Wars of Clone Wars, as far as a fun fact for this week, that Clone Trooper CT-5385's chip malfunctioned, causing him to switch between the normal state and his Order 66 state ahead of schedule, which caused him to kill his Jedi general who he was working with at that time. His clone trooper brother, CT-5555, who we know from the Clone Wars as Fives, learned about the chip's malfunction and caused him to figure out exactly what was going on and actually learn about the deception and the function of that chip in Order 66. And he learned that Palpatine was actually behind the war and everything, and that he had to bring him down. But Palpatine was able to end that before anyone was able to figure out what happened. So it wasn't a perfect scenario, but it worked out for the most part for the Emperor, and allowed him to cause the Sith to rule the galaxy. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the You Can Relax segment for this week. And last week I actually had the chance to finally use Google Fit's real-time activity tracker. So what this does is, let's say you want to track your current running route, walking route, fitness, aerobics, basically whatever you have that can track your fitness and you want to do it in real time, then Google Fit has that ability. So in this case, I tested it with a run that I went on, because normally on every Saturday I go for a swim, but the pool was closed, so I decided to go running instead. And it is actually pretty nifty. So what it does is it tracks your distance in real time. So that's the pretty straightforward part. But it also tracks your steps, time, calories, and your route. So when you're done and you hit finish or stop, it will give you all of that summary all on one page. So essentially what you'll do is you'll hit the plus sign at the bottom right of the app. You'll select your real-time activity and select activity that you want to do, so it knows exactly how to track it, whether it's walking or running. And then hit start, and it will basically start tracking. And you can lock your screen so you can stick it in your pocket so it can count your steps if you're going to be running or waving your arms, and it'll count it that way as well. And give you your summary so you know exactly what your route was, so you can see that. You can see how many calories you burned, how far you ran, how long it took, and it'll give you your mile, or every mile it'll give you how long it took you to run that mile, so you kind of get a general idea of your pace as well. And it works while you're listening to your own music or podcast. So if you're listening to something else or listening to some sort of audio, it'll work with that, so you can have your entertainment while you work out as well. So it's a pretty good and easy way to track your steps, whether you're walking, mostly if you're walking or running, and get your see how you're keeping up with your goals that way. So that is all for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. All links, prior episodes, and all of that good stuff can be found at PatelN01.com. You can, and of course, if you like the show or any prior episodes, you can leave us a good rating on iTunes or Google Play Music. So 5 stars, hopefully, on iTunes, and then a thumbs up on Google Play Music. We're also on Stitcher. You can find us via RSS, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud at PatelN01. If you like the show or want to listen to any show on the Geek.io network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. And of course, you can find all screencasts and video reviews at youtube.com/PatelN01. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.